Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Dr. Annie B. Wilder coming once again on the Dr. Annie B. Wilder Show. I'm coming to say good morning, good morning, good morning. How is everybody out in radio land? Oh, tell you, you must be still excited about having such a beautiful, beautiful weekend, both with the weather and the celebrations that went on, I tell you. So here I am once again to do as I do on Mondays, and that is to come to offer a word of encouragement, some education. Some people, some of the subjects I talk about, you haven't heard before. Some of the insights I provide are all new to you. Well, here I am again today, and my topic today, I expect with my discussion today to offer you all of those various things, okay? Some encouragement, some enlightenment, some direction. Hey, just the whole nine yards, all right? So once again, I thank each and every one of you for being with me today. I thank you for letting me know that you're listening, that you've been coming on the broadcast, and that you are being encouraged and that you're enjoying it. And I thank each of the new listeners as well, those that are joining, because the numbers are growing. They're growing. And I just appreciate you so much. So without further delay, I'm going to get into my discussion. Actually, it's a follow-up discussion from a topic that I began on yesterday at our church. But I'm going to share it with you today, all right? And some new insights that may come along with it. And that is halted between two opinions. And I'm coming from John 19, verses 1 through 22. Yes. So let me say it again. My topic is halted between two opinions. And I'm coming from John 19, verses 1 through 22. Yes, I'm going to be reading a little bit for you today. And then we're going to get into the discussion. So get your cups out. Get ready to get them filled, running over, encouragement, enlightenment, all of those wonderful things. All right? So as it is our custom, let's pray. Oh, Father God, we just love you. We love you. We love you. And we thank you, Father God, for all that you've done. We thank you for your many promises that you have given unto us that we find in your word. Promise after promise after promise. And we thank you, Lord, that our eyes are being opened, that we can embrace the promises, and God, that we stand firm on your word, firm on your promise, knowing that, Lord, if you said it, it is so, and it will be so, because you're God. You're still God. You don't change. And you watch over your word to book you, Lord, for our gathering here once again. Thank you for how you've made ways when it seemed to be no way. Thank you for opening doors for individuals, Lord God, that didn't think there was a door. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done and all that you're yet doing. We thank you, Lord God, today for being able to come and stand with your people in prayer. Oh, God, that whatever their needs are today, that you're supplying them, because you promised that you would do that. You said you'd supply every need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So we thank you for healing, healings in the home, healings in the bodies, healing in relationships, healing in finances, healings all the way around, that you even work in miracles. Those that thought that they were going to have surgery, not having to have surgery, okay? Those, oh God, that are recovering from surgery, that the recovery is speedy and complete. Thank you, Lord God, for your mighty, mighty, mighty power that's being demonstrated in our lives. And for that, God, we just can't help but say thank you. And so now, Father, as I make ready to bring forth this word, I ask that you anoint me, God, give your Holy Spirit's heart to deliver this word in the power and the authority, encouragement, and all that you intend for your people to hear today. In Jesus' name, I pray and I say thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to read for you. number of verses of scripture, John 19, verses 1 through 22. And then I tell you, there's a lot to glean from here. And so I want you to stay tuned. So it reads from the New King James Version of the Bible, so then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe. Then they said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they struck him with their hands. Pilate then went out again and said to them, "Behold, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." Therefore, when the priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?" Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover hour. And he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out again, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then he delivered him to them to be crucified. Then they struck Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side and Jesus in the center, put it on the cross. And the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Therefore, the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews," but he said, "I am the King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." Ooh. It's exciting. It's exciting. The text is exciting. Just to listen to the story, even with the bitter and sweet twist. Exciting hearing the word of God read, as I say, week after week. And whether you read it yourself or you hear somebody else read it, it's exciting. Now, here we are. Yes, the day following our Resurrection Day celebrations. And you probably heard that read a number of times over the last several days. All right? You might have, but some people might not have. So those of you that have, bear with me. And those that have not, hey, come along on this journey with me, all right? So what do we have here? Well, first of all, when I use the topic halted between two opinions, most of you probably had your mind to go back to an Old Testament reading, an Old Testament account of Scripture, which was 1 Kings 18, around verse 21, where you again had a prophet of God, all right, whose name was Elijah, who met with the people opposition on the Mount of Carmel. And he called for the people of Israel to present themselves, where he asked that same question to them. How long halt ye between two opinions? And he wanted them to make a decision. If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, meaning the false god, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Okay, so at that point, Elijah challenged the people to make up their minds who they wanted to follow, to make a decision, a firm decision of who to follow. But it was God's people, all right, that he was challenging at that time. Now, when we come today, hey, we still have God's, the people that Jesus came to give his life for, came to make a sacrifice of himself, all right, to redeem mankind from the enemy, okay, from the fate that was laid out for us because of the sin of that had been imposed and the sin stain that had come upon us from the time of, in the book Genesis, from the time of Adam and Eve. So, again, here we have people on two different sides, some trying to straddle the fence, okay, and saying that they believe in God, and in our case, believe in Jesus, and those that are still doing other things, okay, that are contrary, that don't want to take his word to heart and obey his word. So when we find our scripture today, that's where we are. We find it here where they had taken Jesus. They had, you know, they had been unhappy with Jesus, and they had captured him. A wreck, they had begun to brutalize him. I say brutalize, you know, because we know the scripture let us know that he had been so abused, all right, so beaten and everything that he wasn't even in the end recognizable for all that they had done to him, all right? His very own had done to him. Remember, it was his own, okay, Judas, one of the 12 that had betrayed him. Yeah, that had sold him out. Okay, let the people that wanted to capture him know where to find him. Yes, yes, one of his own that had walked with him and had eaten with him and even had a major position in his group, okay, that of treasurer. He's the one that had sold Jesus out, letting the people know where to find him. And indeed, they had found him, all right, and brought him forth. And now in this case, when we open up, not only that they had brought him forth, but they had now come to this place where, a place of judgment, let's say, all right? And indeed called the praetorium, all right? And so they brought him there to present him before this individual by the name of Pilate, who was a Roman leader, a Roman leader, okay? And so they brought him there, all right? And so they themselves would not go into this hall. They wouldn't go in because it was the time of Passover, and they had prepared themselves to partake of the Passover. And they knew the rule was if they had gone into this place, which was, by the way, Romans means that they were Gentiles. It was a Gentile establishment, and Jews couldn't go there. If Jews went into the house or into, they were considered unclean, and so they wouldn't enter in there because they didn't want to be considered unclean, meaning they wouldn't be able to partake of the Passover. Now, hey, it's a lot of information here, so try to follow me, okay? All right? Listen to what I just said, all right? Here was the Jewish people bringing forth their Jewish leader, Jesus, okay, the king of the Jews, all right, king of kings, all right, the deliverer for the Jewish nation, for people, all right, that they were bringing them to a Gentile, a leader to be tried. Well, right away we know that's wrong, okay? We're supposed to be able to solve these issues amongst ourselves. And so that's what you find here right away. First of all, they brought them to Pilate, okay? And then Pilate, because they wouldn't come in, Pilate went out to them. We find some of this back in chapter 18. And so when he went out, he asked them, you know, what accusation do you bring against this man? And they answered and said to him, if he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you. In other words, why would you ask us such a question? You know, like we don't know what we're doing. Okay. And so then Pilate said to them, you take him and judge him according to your law. What did I say already? All right. We are supposed to be able to judge one another, Christians, believers, according to the word of God. We shouldn't always be so quick to take individuals to the court of court. All right. So it says, the Jews said to Pilate that it's not lawful for us to put anyone to death. In other words, right away, they already knew what they wanted to do. They wanted Jesus to be put to death. It wasn't that they wanted to find out if he was really guilty of anything wrongdoing. It wasn't that they wanted him to just be tried. They had it in their minds. They wanted him to be put to death, all right? They already knew what in he was supposed to, what they wanted him to experience. So Pilate says, the Bible lets us know that Pilate went back into the praetorium and he called Jesus and he said to him, are you the king of the Jews? And the Bible lets us know that Jesus answered him, are you speaking for yourself about this or did others tell you this concerning me? I love that, you know. In other words, again, we often come up against people and have decisions made based on what other people say, all right, rather than investigating for ourselves. So here it is, Jesus, just like today, he asked him, well, why are you asking me this question? Is it because you've heard other things, other people say this, or is it something that you know for yourself about me, okay? And Pilate said, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? Why are your people against you, bringing you to this point? This is such a serious place to be brought to, and it's your people. I'm not a Jew. I'm not one of your own, okay? Why is it that your own people are turning against you in such a manner as this, okay? And so he says, come on, tell me what you've done. Tell me why they would do this to you. But Jesus, it says, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. Somebody say, well, where are you? I'm back in chapter 18, leading up to our written text for today. All right, chapter 18. All right, and right now I'm at verse 36. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. All right? That, as I brought out yesterday, as the Spirit of the Lord just gave me to bring out yesterday in our discussions, is that here it was Jesus was letting them know. And yeah, he was right there walking with them and in the midst of them, but he says his kingdom, his really real home, wasn't there, all right? And therefore, you know, if he had been in his home, okay, his own home, his kingdom, then he had his own servants that would have fought for him, all right? And so that's a word for us as we go into this discussion, to be aware that we as Christians, we as believers, the Bible tells us that we have been made to sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And so, hey, our kingdom is, hey, we are here on earth because the Bible says, hey, he says, what? That and yet our real home is not here anymore, okay? We're in the world, but we're not of the world. And so many of us are still trying to straddle the fence ourselves, okay? We have not been able to make a full decision of who we're going to follow, right? And we need to, just like Elijah confronted the people back there on Mount Carmel, to say, make a decision. And so we need to come to understand, we as believers, those of us that have accepted Jesus Christ in our lives, that our real home, okay, we're here because, hey, it's an advantage for us to be here right now, all right? It's an advantage so that we can help other people, that we can be witnesses to others of the mighty power of God, and to tell them about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Yes, so that they will escape, oh, a fate that's not so, oh my goodness, a fate that's so bad, okay? A fate that people still argue about if it's real or not. Hell, okay? Between a halting between two opinions, whether you want to go to hell or whether you're going to heaven. Yes, I know it's controversial. I know, and I'm not here to argue it. I'm just talking about what the Word of God says, okay? And I don't know about you, but I made a decision. My decision is that, hey, I'm going to do what it takes to go to heaven. I believe there's a heaven, and I'm going to do what I know to do and what I've learned to do and what the Word of God reveals to me to do so that I can go there, all right? So here we are, all right? So Pilate, therefore, hangs in, he's struggling. This is it. Yesterday when we talked about it, I focused on Pilate, the decisions he was trying to make and trying to arrive at a reason for his decision, okay? He was struggling, okay? So now he said to Jesus, are you a king then? Because remember, that's what they were accusing him of, right? And Jesus answered, you say right that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And I have to say that again. You know, the Bible says that those of us who are belong to Jesus, that we know his voice. Yeah. And no other voice will we follow. And as I've discussed that in times past, how do we get to really know his voice? It's by spending time with him. Yes. As we spend time with the Lord, reading his word and meditating on his word and fellowshipping with him, we get to know his voice from every other voice, okay? And therefore, once we get to know his voice, that's the voice we want to follow and turn away from every other voice, all right? And so Pilate said to him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them. Now, let me just recap this again. Here it is, Pilate, they had presented Jesus, okay? The religious leaders had presented Jesus, okay, to Pilate, okay, to be judged, okay, to be rendered guilty so that he could be crucified. And so Pilate comes out and he's questioning them. Why did you bring him here? And then he's going back and he's questioning Jesus to find out why they turned against him so, all right? And so now here it is, as it says, he's going back out to the crowd again. He's going back out to the crowd, okay? And he's saying to them, hey, look, I just question this man called Jesus. I just ask him a series of questions. And he says to them, I find no fault in him. In fact, he said, I find no fault in him at all. I don't find a reason that he should be presented to me for this level of treatment and this manner of punishment. I don't find any fault. It says, but look, they wanted what they wanted. The religious leaders, his fellow men, Jews, they wanted what they wanted. So what? They said, but we have a custom. But you have a custom that I should, Pilate continues to say to them, you have a custom that I should release someone to you at the Passover. Remember, let me make sure I make it clear to you. Pilate is struggling to find a way to let Jesus go, to not have to go through any of the rituals of this horrible fate of crucifixion. He's still struggling, okay? And so he says, look, you have this custom that I should release someone to you at the Passover. Do you therefore want me to release to you the king of the Jews? Hey, you've got an option here. I'm giving you a way out. I'm giving you the option to take him back and take him away from this place standing before me. I'm giving you that option, all right? And says, then they all cried again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. And the Bible lets us know Barabbas was the robber. He was guilty of his crime, and he was due for the punishment that was before him. But the people were full of hatred. They were full of anger. Jesus' own people, so much so to they prefer to have a robber, a condemned criminal released to them rather than have Jesus released to them. Oh, my God. I think you need a minute to breathe on that. I know you've heard it over and over, but hey, every time we read it, there's a deeper insight. Can you imagine? You know what that's like, right? I know you do. I know you do. And you say, I don't know of that anything of that extreme or anything in high power like that. Well, that's all right. It's still the same thing when we come back to our close relationships. We come back to our families. We come back to our children. Or, you know, that good friend that you had that would turn against you. And they prefer to believe a lie than to believe truth. To believe you saying, I didn't do that. I'm not guilty of that. I didn't talk about you. I didn't tell your secrets. I didn't do any of those things that people are saying that I'm doing. But to have someone close to you, a close friend, relative, or whatever, to say, I believe them. I believe that other person rather than believe you. Hey, take a minute and know how bad that feels. Take a minute to feel it, you know? Take a minute to focus on how awful you feel when such things happen. And I know every one of you have experienced it one way or another. Yes, you have. Remember, the Bible, hey, it's pertinent to our lives. It's not strange. Hey, everything written here, anything you're going through, you can go in the Bible and find an example that was left here. It may not be direct, but it's in there. If we read it and get the meaning of it and the background of it, we find our situations there. So listen, when it said that they preferred to have a robber, a condemned criminal released to them rather than the one that had come and performed miracles and healed many and fed many and taught many, oh, my God. Oh, my God. They themselves having personally witnessed so many things that Jesus had done in his years there walking amongst the people. But yet they would still rather to take a criminal rather than have their Jesus released to them. Oh, so anyway, we find here that that's the first instance where this leader, Pilate, okay, had this horrible a decision to make, all right? And he had said, I find no fault at all. I don't find any fault in him. That was number one. That's the first time. And you would think, being a religious leader, that he could have ended it there. He could have, but he was still reasoning with the people, compromise with the people. You say reason and compromise? Well, isn't that what that was? When he said, look, you got a custom, you know, that somebody gets me released to you, that I release somebody to you. Hey, let me release this one to you. Let me release Jesus, and let me release Barnabas to you, okay, for your Passover, all right? Did I do that right? No, let me release Jesus. Okay, please forgive me here. It's so much information. Follow me. I know some of you say, no, Dr. Wilder, that's not it. You're right, okay? Pilate wanted to release Jesus to them, all right, but they wanted Barnabas. All right, I got that straight? So in other words, that was the first time he was trying his best to reason with them. All right, so then, and now we're down to 19 with the text that I had read earlier. So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. Now look, here it is. We know about this scourging and all that they did and how they mistreated him and how they picked on him and how they made fun of him and all of that. And then the Bible says, then Pilate went out again. I want you to follow me. Please feel this, okay? This man in position, this man that can make a decision, that had power to make a decision. But as I said, my topic halted between two opinions. He could not make the decision. Later on, we're going to see more of that. But here, he was not strong enough, not courageous enough to make a firm decision. He was trying to reason with the crowd, reason with those who wanted what they wanted. And what they wanted was Jesus to be crucified, okay? They weren't up for reasoning. They weren't up for their minds being changed. They weren't up for truth. They didn't want any of that. Their minds were already made up. And yet this individual that could have turned the tide stood there, and he kept trying to reason with them. Oh, I'm saying that again and again. He was trying to reason with wrong. He was trying to compromise. Oh, my God. Are you following me? This is not typical. I'm not just trying to hype you up from, our Easter story, our resurrection story. I want you to get the gist, the emphasis, and all that's in here that applies to us. That's what I'm attempting to do. Because even in our own lives, we have that situation that come up so many times that we need to make a decision. We need to decide if we're going to follow Jesus, and if we follow him, we believe him, we accept him, then we got to turn our backs on those old things, the works of darkness. We got to turn our backs. We can't be standing on the fence trying to compromise with wrong. Wrong is wrong, and we have to make a decision that we are turning our back on wrong, and we're going to follow Jesus all the way. Woo! My God, my God, my God. Yes, so here we are again. So here was Pilate, and that's who I'm focusing on, okay? Halted between two opinions. Who was halted? Pilate was halted. This high individuals, powerful individuals, he was halted. First, he already said, look, I don't find any fault in him. Now, hey, again, you say, well, then why did he do this? Look why he did it, okay? He says he did that, okay? He had him scourged and beaten, and they ridiculed him. All the things that as he was being said that he was king, they did all those emblems that would go along with a king, the crown, okay, the purple robe that kings ordinarily would wear, okay, the greeting, hail, King of the Jews, okay? All those things, all right? And then it says what? But they were doing it in jest. You say, well, what was wrong with that if that was part of the custom? They were doing it in jest. They were doing it in fun. They were doing it in ridicule. They weren't doing it because of recognition of who he was. They were doing it, okay, to make fun of him. That's why they did that. Yes, yes, yes. And so then it says, Pilate again. What did it say? Pilate went out again and said to them, behold, I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no fault in him. That's the second time he was making that statement. I find no fault in him. But what did I tell you? He was still trying to compromise. So he brought him out after beating him. And everything they brought him, Pilate brought him out to the people so that they would see, okay, maybe have mercy on him, maybe feel bad enough to say, yes, give him back to us, give him to us. But most of all, to let them know that, hey, I beat him now. Hey, I've scourged him now. I've tried to get an answer for him now. I tried to get a confession from him now. Hey, look, and even in me beating him and him being ridiculed and everything, I still find no fault in him. I still have not heard anything from him that would make me know that he's guilty of any wrongdoing. Look at him. Look, I'm not taking you for granted. I'm not ignoring your request. I am trying to get this answer from him, and yet I find no fault in him. That's number two. That's the second time. Okay, that is the second time this high leader, Pilate, hey, he's trying to compromise. He's working at this one. One word would have ended it all, okay? One action would have ended it all. But it says Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns. In other words, the people could see how, the fun that they were making of him, all right? It says, therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out saying, crucify him, crucify him. All right, again, here it is. They were determined. They were not there to try to get a proper judgment. That's not what they were after. They simply wanted what they wanted, and what they wanted was to crucify Jesus. Oh, gosh. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Can you feel it personally? Nobody wants to hear your side of it. You're crying to me. Hear me. Let me tell you my side of the story. Let me tell you what really happened. And people, they clap their ears closed. They don't want to hear anything from you. You know, they've already made up their minds that they don't believe you. They don't trust you. They just want you out of their sight and away from them. For whatever reason, many times jealousy, many times envy, many times, okay, because, hey, they want your position. They want whatever. Yes. So, hey, they're not open to hear any reasoning. No, they don't want any reasoning at all. They're just closed off. And that's what these people, these religious leaders, the Jewish religious leaders, the Jewish followers and the high priests, and all, this was the situation, okay? So no matter how Pilate had tried, no matter what he was doing, and no matter how he was trying to appease them, it wasn't going to happen. But we find here that he was still trying. So now, even in the midst of them crying out, crucify him, that he said to them, you take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. Again, into trying to say, okay, you take the responsibility to crucify him. But, of course, we know that couldn't be, all right, because the Jews, you know, they had this law and said that they couldn't put anybody to death. Anytime anybody was to put to death or they had a crime or a reason for death, they had to bring them to the Romans to do it because they did not have that authority. The Jewish law forbid it such, okay? And so Pilate heard that saying, he was more afraid when they said that to him, you know, reminded him of their law, okay? And that this Jesus had made himself the Son of God. That frightened Pilate. He got afraid. Who is this person? Who is this one that's before me, okay? And so he went in again. Can you picture this? It going back and forth into the praetorium. And he said to Jesus, he's still trying to get an answer from Jesus. He's still trying to find a reason that his actions would be justified. All right? So he says, where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, are you not speaking to me? And then he goes on, as I read earlier, to say to him, don't you know I have power to crucify you? I have power. I have a lot of power over you. And Jesus responds, say, no, fellow. Any power you have is only because it's been given to you. You know, because Jesus already knew. He already said, you know, hey, he could have escaped that. He didn't have to go there. But he was going there for us, all right? It wasn't because they had really, because they had such power over him. He had already made up his mind back there in the Garden of Gethsemane that he was going to have to go through and drink of a bitter cup to release us, okay, to release mankind, to pay the wages of sin that was upon our lives because of Adam having transgressed against the law of God. In other words, had disobeyed God back there in that garden. And because each one of us come through the lineage of Adam, we had that same sin stain on us. And the only way we could be restored to fellowship with God the Father, that precious fellowship that Adam and Eve initially enjoyed, the only way we can get it was that the price of that transgression be paid. And the Bible says what? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And so Jesus had to pay that price. All the goats and the bulls and all the things that people had done year after year in their sacrifice and their feast times, okay, only covered over sin. But God wanted us to be truly delivered and our consciousness be cleansed of sin, not covered, but truly taken care of. And the only way that could be done, okay, the only way that our fellowship could be restored would be through this blood, this innocent blood of Jesus Christ. And so he had made up his mind back in the Garden of Gethsemane to follow through with the call that is on his life. And so he said, you don't have any power over me. No, you don't have any, okay? And so here we are. And it says, from then on, Pilate sought to release Jesus. He's still trying. He's still trying to compromise. You guys hearing me? He's still trying to compromise. He knew that Jesus wasn't guilty of anything. He had already said it. How many times did you follow me? How many times had Pilate said to them? How many times? I find no fault in him. Were you counting? Yes, there are three times already. I find no fault in him. I don't find him guilty of anything. But now it says that here he is again. He's trying to find another way to let Jesus out, let Jesus go, okay? But he said no matter how he tried, the people just cried out the more, saying, if you let this time they added to it. They didn't just cry, crucify him, crucify him. They started hitting at Pilate. In other words, stop trying to compromise with us, okay? So they hit him lower, as we might say, below the belt. And so now they say to him, you know, hey, he says, if you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar, all right? And so the Bible says, when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. All right, in other words, what happened was when they mentioned the fact that if he let Jesus go, that meant that he was considered, you're not a friend of Caesar. Now, why was that important? Well, listen, usually we can't make decisions or we halter between decisions. Many times it's because I've said it over and over today that we are trying to live on both sides of the fence. Hey, we want to have a friend. We want to be friendly with the world, and yet we want to be considered a Christian. Yes, I know that just got somebody. Yeah, when we accept Christ, we got to turn our backs on being friends with the world, okay, because that's enmity against God. That's an enemy against God. We can't be friends with God and friends with the world. We can't. We can't. We can't. No, we can't, okay? So I wanted to find, let me see, I think if you make the mark in Matthew 6 and 24, it says no man can serve two masters, because I've said it over and over again, but you're saying, well, where did you get that from, Dr. Wilder? Well, I'm going to give you a landmark, Matthew, which says no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot love God and money. And money is equivalent to position and relationships, high relationships. So when they mention Caesar, hey, remember? Caesar, king, all right? That here was Pilate. He wasn't a friend of his anyway, but he wanted to be a friend of his. Yes. He wanted to be a friend. As most people, they want position. They want to be related to people in position. You said, oh, Dr. Wilder, well, think about it. How many times do you hear people dropping names? You go on an interview, and you want to know somebody in the company. So you drop a name, their name, okay? You go to the bank, and what? You go in the bank to make a loan or something, and you say, oh, I know so-and-so, or I want to, you ask for a certain person. Why? That's saying, hey, I'm a friend of theirs. I'm in close relationship with them. We do it. We do it. We do it. Yes, we do. We have to catch ourselves. And remember, we can't be friends with the world and friends with Jesus, because the things of the world are against Jesus. Yes, the people of the world, okay, they're against Jesus. They don't like the commands. They don't like the directions. They don't like it, okay? So we got to make up our mind, just like the scripture read. Let me read it again, Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot love God and money, okay? And again, as I say, you say, well, money, what does this have to do with it? Well, isn't that what position brings? Isn't that the reason we want position? Isn't that the reason you look for promotion? Isn't that the reason you want to be associated with somebody that have getting accolades or in high positions and famous and everything? It all boils down to money. Don't fool yourself. Hey, don't be like Pilate, okay, trying to compromise and halt in between two opinions and trying to dress it up. You can't dress it up. That's why you want the position. That's why you want your name in light. That's why. Because it all boils down to money. Yes, money, money. But they said you can't love God and money. You got to serve one or the other, all right? Because otherwise you'll turn around and start hating the other one, all right? And so here we are. Here it is. So when they threw that at a pilot, so to speak, you know, hey, you know, you won't be a friend of Caesar. Okay, that hit him. That's almost like, you know, when we looked at the book of Job, I often think back about that, you know, in Job where the enemy, Satan, had attacked Job's household. And you know, God was so sure that Job would not turn against him. And God had said to Satan, he ain't going to turn against you. He's an upright man, you know, and he hates evil. So he's not going to turn his back on me. And Satan said, oh, yeah, you can take away everything from him. Hey, that's fine, all right? He'll turn on you. And then God gave Satan permission to do that. So he lost his home. He lost his children. He lost everything, all right? But he still didn't turn on God. So Satan comes back and say, that's true. That's fine. You can take all of that from him, all right? You can do all those things. You can attack him, all right? Skin for skin, all that a man has will he give for his life. So in other words, he'll give up everything just to have his own life, to save his life. But Satan goes on and stands up there and challenges God and say to him, but put forth your hand and touch his bone and flesh. He will curse you to your face. All right. So isn't that somewhat of what was going on with Pilate? All right. Hey, I want this relationship with Caesar. I want to be a friend of Caesar. I want this position. Okay. I can't risk losing that, of the possibility of that. I would say to you that he was already in denial because he already wasn't his friend, but he was hoping to be, all right? And so just like Satan was saying to Jesus, saying to God that, hey, this is what will happen to mankind. This is what would happen. In this case, it was Job. And like us, you know, we'll give up a lot of things. But when we get sick and, you know, our bodies is ripe with pain and we can't get an understanding of where it's coming from and why it's coming, and we're not healed overnight, and after we had hands laid on us, we don't praying over us, and we don't immediately see the results. After, and when the time gets long, yeah, let me put that in there. When the time gets long, if it happened overnight, we're standing our ground. I trust God. I trust God. I believe in Jesus. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I believe that Jesus bore a stripe for my sickness and my healing. Yes, when it happens overnight, we stand on that. But if it gets long, if the time gets long before a deliverance comes, hey, many times people fall by the wayside. They began to just begin to question and doubt the word of God and doubt what Jesus said. Yes, but we got to stand firm, people. If Jesus said it, it's going to be. If Jesus promised it, and he has promised it, okay, hey, it's going to be well, all right? And so that we find a similarity here with Pilate, that, hey, they hit him in that place that really got him, that he wasn't going to try to reason with them anymore. But indeed, he just delivered them, okay, delivered Jesus to be crucified, all right? But then there was this custom there was a custom that whenever anybody was assigned to death to be crucified, then their crime had to be placed over their head, put on them. They had to be, their crime had to be identified. And so in this case, that's exactly what he did, that he, Pilate, now he had that last say. He had been reasoning all along. He had been halted between two opinions all along. Do I let him go? Do I answer the people? Do I do what's in my conscience to do? Do I do what I know should be? All right, I don't find any fault in him. I don't find him envious, him guilty of anything. Do I lean that way, or do I listen to the crowd? And he didn't have the courage to follow the conviction of his heart all the way through this whole scenario. But when it got to the end, and he had that, he was the one to write this. He was the one to make the declaration. He was the one to follow the law, their law, okay, and put the crime over the head of the convicted individual. And so it says that he wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. He identified Jesus as coming from a lonely place, as Jesus had walked throughout time, lonely, lowly, meek, okay? And then he said, King of the Jews. And, of course, the Jewish people didn't like that. They were upset with that. So they said, don't put it up there. Don't put that. You know, say that he said he's the King of the Jews. But Pilate took a stand at last. He took a stand. And he said to them, hey, what I've written, I've written. Well, we know that also part of the law was that when you put it in writing, hey, it's stamped there. But he had the courage to put it there in the first place, and it couldn't be changed. He had the courage to put it there. In the end, he had the courage to identify Jesus as King Jews, all right? And he put it in writing, and nobody could deny who put it there. And I would say that finally, in the end, he mustered up the strength and the courage to follow what he knew, what he had found out along the way, that Jesus indeed was King of the Jews. Yes, that he was king. He came to recognize him for who he was, and he made it public in this writing and put in this announcement over his head. All right? So hopefully you've gotten these lessons out of this as we followed through today with this writing of this account of the crucifixion of Jesus, and you begin to see so many parallels in there of our own lives and everything, that three times, Pilate, that one with the power, the Roman individual with that power and the authority to make this decision, but yet he was halted between two opinions. Halted between what the people would say, in other words, he was paralyzed, he couldn't make the decision, between what the people were saying and what he was getting out of Jesus, what was being revealed to him. He couldn't make a decision, but I still get excited at the end of it all, when he had the last say, he had the last say right then and there, that, hey, he made that decision to identify Jesus as King of the Jews, and he would not let the people change his mind. He wouldn't let the people. He knew when he put it up there that it would be final. He knew it when he put it up there, it couldn't be changed. I find that exciting. He knew it couldn't. And but he had the courage. He mustered up the courage to write that. And everybody passing by would see it, because people were from all over. This was the time of the Passover. It was the time of one of the festivals where people had to come from far and near. That's why it said in Greek, it was written both in Greek and where are we now? He wrote it in Greek and hey, guys, help me here. In Greek and Hebrew and Latin. So everybody that came, somebody was going, whatever their tongue was, they're going to read it, and they were going to know it. They were going to be able to read it for themselves, because it was written in such a manner. And people were there from all over. And so when they left, they were going to know about it, and they would have seen this horrible crime that had taken place. And yet he was identified as Jesus of Nazareth, okay, the King of the Jews. So even though he was halted, this Pilate was halted, we could have ended this thing long before, but we know that it was necessary, it was prophesied, all right? But in the end, when nobody could change him. Nobody could make him change. Nobody could convince him to change. Nobody could coerce him to change. He made that final declaration. And that's the question to you today. Have you made that declaration that Jesus is Lord and invited him into your heart and made him Lord of your life? Have you made that declaration and decided that you weren't going to waver, you weren't going back, you weren't going to turn back, but you were going to just follow Jesus all the way? If not, I invite you to do so today. I invite you to say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Take charge of my life. I surrender all to you. I repent of any wrongdoings. I repent of my sins, and I just want you to come and take charge of my life. Be Lord of my life. All right? If you do that meaning it from your heart and confessing it out of your own mouth, the Bible says you're saved. You're born again. You're a child of God. All right? And so that's what I invite you to do today. And in fact, I beg you to do that today. If you have not, become a child of God. All right? So once again, halt between two opinions. It's time to make a decision. It's time to be on one side or the other. All right? Make that decision today. And as you reflect back on this exhortation that I brought to you today, halt between two opinions. Pilate, a person of high position could not follow the conviction of his heart until the end. He did, for all to see that he was the one that posted this announcement. And so until the next time, this has been Dr. Annie B. Wilder thanking you once again for joining me and asking that, hey, send me an email, all right, at drannibwilder@gmail.com. That's D-R-A-N-N-I-E, the letter B, W-I-L-D-E-R, @gmail.com. Send me your prayer request so I can pray with you. Come on. Send me your testimonies so I can rejoice with you. Come on. Just communicate with me, would you please? All right. So until the next time that I'm able to come and be with you, be blessed.